Hey, is that the Talking Heads singing The Book I Read?
You know what that means.
Time for Get Lit.
Get Lit. Happy Hour Book Club Show.
It is your monthly Happy Hour Book Show Club Show?
Show Club Book Show. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yay.
Yeah, we're going to jump into the cocktails probably very early in this show, but this is April, Ape on the Dink, and I'm here with
Erin Go Book. Nice to be here today.
Yes, it's kind of been a rainy, snowy, little bit of everything day out there. So good day to read a book or talk about a book or have a cocktail.
All of the above.
Oh, and the book we're reading this month. What did we read?
We read an amazing book called Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday. This was her first novel, and it came out in February of 2018.
Yeah, I was really interested to see that this was a debut novel, and it made it to the New York Times 10 Best Books of the Year.
Yeah, I knew that it was pretty high on the literary list. I think that Obama had read it, and it's on Oprah's book club. I mean, that's not why we chose it, but I know it was a pretty big one when I got introduced to it.
And it was very interesting. It's actually like a three-part book within a book.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess that's where the asymmetry comes into play. But hey, real quick, let's talk about our cocktail really fast.
Because we can start drinking?
Yeah, so we can start drinking. So we are drinking an old fashioned this month. Every month we like to try to come up with a cocktail that kind of goes with the flow of the book we read. So far we had a zombie novel, and Erin found us a zombie. Kind of tasted like river water. Do you know what river water is? So at the end of the weekend, after you've been at the river all weekend, you just take what's left in each bottle and pour it into one bottle and just drink it. And that's river water. That's kind of what the zombie reminded me of.
Who taught you that? How did you grow up? Right. Oh, my Lord.
Who raised you?
Ick.
So we had the zombie. What else did we have?
We had the black and white cocktail.
Oh, we had the black and white cocktail.
Mm-hmm, for Black Klansmen.
So this is our third month. Wow. We're losing that new show smell, but that's okay. We're settling in.
We're still kind of shiny, yeah, but you know.
We're still, we'll always be shiny. So if you want to make yourself an old fashioned and join us, you will need an ounce of whiskey, a quarter ounce of simple syrup, or you can use a couple sugar cubes. I actually did make our simple syrup out of, like turbinado sugar. So it kind of gives it a nice flavor. And then you want 3 to 4 dashes of bitter. And again, I actually used like a flavored bitter.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was, my goodness, I'll think of it. It was ginger bitters.
Ooh, that tastes delicious. So it's going to make our stomach feel good.
Yeah. So we got whiskey simple syrup. We're drinking ours over ice, and we have those combined and stirred and garnished with an orange. And I like some cherries. So I bought like the nice maraschino cherries, not those yucky ones you see on ice cream. We got good whiskey cherries. So we are having an old fashioned. Here we go.
We're going to have a drink.
Yes.
Let's Cheers. Try this, baby.
Cheers.
All right.
Have you ever had an old fashioned?
I have now.
Yeah. I kind of thought was exactly the reaction I was expecting, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's I am more of a tequila person myself, okay. Also wine, but I like to, you know, expand my palate and try as many things as I can. And you and I have been going to some different tastings each month, so
yeah.
I'm really trying to grow my whiskey, bourbon, more sophisticated palate of alcohol.
There you go. Okay, so now we're going to jump into this book, Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday. Hey, if you've read this book or you'd like to talk about the book, give us a call at 963-2976. 963-2976. That's the studio line. And you can talk to us on air about asymmetry.
Either way. Yeah. Works either way. So I have to ask you before we hop in. Now, I have a separate a different book club that I meet with as well, besides the one you and I do. And we met and talked about this book. Now, did you understand what the middle piece was when they were writing about the man that was going, he was Middle Eastern and he was going back and he was held over at the airport? Because I didn't understand until I went to book club and we talked about it. So I wanted to know if you got it. Yeah.
I don't know if I did. I tried to bring it all around and I could not find like the door that they went through to get to that point. So the first the first part of the book is, and like we said, they're kind of almost little novellas, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's about a 20-something-year-old editor, right? She's an editor? Editor assistant.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, she works in a publishing
house. She's working to become, a writer.
Yeah. And she meets a famous writer who's quite a bit older than she is. And they strike up at first a friendship and then a romance.
Yeah. Yeah. And she knows immediately who he is when he approaches her. I think he just approaches her as a friend. He starts a small, simple conversation and she immediately is like, oh, hello, I know you. And I am so into this.
Yeah. And I personally, from right out the gate. So she is Mary Alice, but to a lot of people, she just goes by Alice. And I felt like they brought in some Alice in Wonderland kind of, I don't know, it kind of felt like some parallels there. Like the first time she ever goes to this gentleman's apartment, he's very all about it. He almost doesn't even, he doesn't introduce himself, right? He just asks what she's reading. And then the next time he sees her, he brings her an ice cream and then whatever.
He's kind of presumptuous.
Yeah. And then the first time she goes to his apartment, she knocks on the door and a hand comes out with a glass of water and the door closes. And she just drinks the water. And I think, oh, well, this reminds me of Alice in Wonderland. Drink this, you know? And I feel like there were a couple other things that kind of, I thought, oh, these are a little bit down the rabbit hole kind of
interesting
things. Yeah. And so this becomes a romance then. What do they call that? A May-December romance. Have you ever heard that term?
I haven't.
Yeah. When it's a younger woman and an older man, it's called a May-December romance.
What about if it's an older woman and a younger man?
I think
man?
There's another way they say it, to be honest.
I've never heard this. That's interesting.
Yeah. So they have this May-December romance, and he's quite a bit older.
Yeah. And one thing you and I were discussing, April, is that if anybody has read Shop Girl or seen the film Shop Girl, it's very reminiscent of that. You have an older gentleman who is very established, very wealthy. He knows what he likes. He knows what he likes to do, and he considers himself a connoisseur in many subjects. And then there's this young girl who is infatuated with him. She wants her professional career to be along the same lines as his. And he kind of just kind of takes over as, well, this is what we're going to do. And this is how I'm going to address you as a person. And you'll only get to come if I invite you. And it was just very much like she should know her place because she's the younger woman and he was kind of in charge. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that was, it's a little hard to take. But then again, I don't know, something about it that you kind of is accepting, I guess, in a way, because she's accepting it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she ultimately is deciding to accept this. And the fact that, she has to be invited, and sometimes he wants to call her a different name so people don't know who she is, things like this. But then she starts, then it kind of, the relationship changes, though, and then he starts having health problems, and then she actually becomes a caretaker almost for him.
And that's kind of when she realizes that maybe this isn't the best thing for me. He still thinks life is an adventure and continuing, but she's seeing the reality that his life is kind of ending and being very restricted in many ways, and hers is just beginning, and she is wanting to fulfill and explore and go on adventures like he used to and is not able to anymore.
But there's so much there for her to learn from him. So there's that, that
he is a mentorship romantic relationship.
So then, we have this the second book.
Yeah.
And that is about, as you mentioned, an American Iraqi family.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting. I love, there's this many quirky things in this book. And one of them is that this main character was actually born in an airplane. And so there was always questions as to who his citizenship was.
That's kind of cool. Is that like when you're born like out in the ocean, like when there's what's it called when you get out there and there's no laws or anything? There's like a,
I know there is a term. There's a term for it.
Would that be kind of the same thing if you're kind of born out in the middle of the ocean? Well, like who do you belong to? What country do you claim?
Well, I feel like they kind of bring that up in it, that they weren't sure who he belonged to. So he ended up getting dual citizenship and he actually had two passports. And, I have been a bit remiss in this. I want to let you know that Get Lit is underwritten by Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew, local seasonal food, and partnering with local nonprofit fundraisers. Beer Works hosts the official Green is the New Black after party this Friday night. Woo! More info at CarbondaleBeerWorks.com and on Facebook. We do not want to forget our underwriting.
Yes, thank you, Beer Works.
Yes, thank you so much. So now back to the book. Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday. And three stories within one book. And so I want to hear what you were saying. You said you're in another book club and that some people came up with explanations as to...
Yeah. So what has in this novel, and I guess it's hinted at very minutely. You really have to pay attention. It's kind of one of these we have to go back and read. But the second book, and I'll just read, I took some notes. And so the second section is about the character's name is Amar, and he's an Iraqi-American economist, and he's been detained on his way to Kurdistan to see his brother. So it kind of talks about, he kind of goes back in time and revisits some story as to how his family has come to be split up like this. And while he's being detained in the airport, I'm wondering what the heck is going to happen. Mary Alice wrote the second book.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Does this have something to do with... That's interesting. How do they figure that out?
I guess there are a couple, and again, I need to reread it because we discussed this after I read it and I was like, are you sure? But I guess there are a few very small details, like when they when Mary Alice and Ezra, the her older gentleman, when they go to a hot dog stand on the street.
Okay.
And there's like, she starts thinking about how could she ever relate to where this man is in his life? Is there anything relatable? And that's kind of a little glimpse of the asymmetry. Could this 20-something Caucasian successful woman in New York have any sort of understanding or relationship to this middle-aged Iraqi-American man who's being detained at the airport?
Well, you know, that kind of makes sense, too, because I don't know if you remember, there's a part where she's called in for jury duty, mm-hmm. and she's, eavesdropping, but whatever, when you're in a room with a bunch of people, I barely call that eavesdropping.
Yeah.
But she hears a conversation between a gentleman and a woman, and the gentleman was explaining how his family, who, I suppose they were Muslim, but they didn't, like, they looked at music as frivolity.
There you go.
Music is frivolous.
There you
and
go.
That it leads to, you know, bad thoughts and, you know, every kind of music. They thought, you know, that. And so there was a big conversation going on between this man and woman. And she says, well, all music and, you know, everything from Britney Spears to, you know, classical music. Yeah, it gets your mind. It distracts from everyday religion. And so... That kind of makes sense because in the second part of the book or the second little novella, one of the characters is kind of a prodigy, a musical prodigy, plays the piano,
mm-hmm.
but the parents don't like to talk about it.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in the third part, the third section is Ezra doing an interview on the radio about his different works. And I think in there he somewhere mentions very briefly something about a past love of his or something wrote that book. So there's only a few pieces that allude to that. And then, of course, I had to go on the internet and find out.
So did they confirm?
I mean, from what I could tell, yes. Yes, there was absolutely confirmation that that was the case.
Oh,
I also heard there was Philip Roth was a novelist who passed away. And I guess there were a lot of, I don't know much about him, but there were a lot of connections between him and the Ezra character.
Oh, yes. That's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, that there was a woman that had, I don't think it's the writer, but yeah.
No, but a woman had some sort of relationship or an affair with him. And
well, here you go. I'm going to read somebody else's little synopsis, but it says, the first section follows Alice, a 20-something assistant at a publishing house, as she tumbles down a rabbit hole, well, there you go, of a relationship with Ezra Blazer, a literary eminence 40 years her senior, who bears a terrifically unabashed resemblance to Philip Roth, with whom Halliday had a relationship with.
Oh, no, she did.
So
okay.
She did.
So that's what we were talking about in my other book club, is that she actually had some sort of love affair with him, and that that the Ezra character was based off of that. Because there's a lot of, this book was beyond me in the literary realm, but there's a lot of mentions. And
they do. He suggests a lot of reading to her.
Yeah, there are a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. He gives her a lot of, and You know, which is like what we talked about it, like, you know, being a bit of an unbalanced relationship. But then again, you know, he did give her a lot, I think, in way of growing her literary experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think that in the long run, it did end up to be beneficial. I mean, they did have a great experience.
Yeah.
She kind of was catapulted into this very adult, civilized world, and she had a lot of fun with that and kind of learned what was out there, and it kind of brought him to a more youthful side. And, you know, when it didn't work, they parted ways, and that's a beautiful thing.
Although I do have to say that if he really was only supposed to be in his 60s, he sure had a lot of health problems. Being somebody that's close to my 60s, closer to my 60s than I am my 20s. They paint him as a pretty decrepit older person.
Well, but, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, depending on that lifestyle can be maybe intense, which, you know, you stay up late. Sometimes there's a lot of drinking involved for whatever reasons. And you would just know. But yeah, I thought the same thing. He had a lot of health issues where he was like really sick.
At one point, he's in the hospital and he sends her to go pick up his pills. And I don't remember how many she said there were, but I mean,
yeah,
40 or 50 by something crazy.
Not really something that like a 26-year-old is going to be going to do often.
So how are you enjoying your old fashioned?
I'm enjoying it. You did a great job.
Okay, well, these are fun to to get us in the mood, because he does they often mention in this where he and sometimes I don't even think he's the one drinking, but he's pouring her, like, he buys her expensive things and expensive
drinks. It seems like he pours her cocktails a lot, which I personally enjoyed. I was like, that's a way to, you know, if you want to offer me a cocktail when I come over, that's wonderful. But I like that was something. He did seem very concerned about her well-being. Yeah. He did want her taken care of, even though there's this weird dynamic between them where he was giving her lots of money to, you know, buy an air conditioning and clothes and things like that, which I get a little weird about. He was still obviously showing that he cared about her and he wanted her to be okay.
Yeah, because I think that most of the things that he purchases for her aren't really frivolous. Not so much.
Yeah, but being like, oh, take this money to go get a nice, you don't have a nice enough dress to hang out with me at this party, go get one. Yeah, I mean, you can stick that. So
And that happened in the other novel we talked about, Shop Girl. He does that with her, too.
That just gets my feminist feathers ruffled just a little bit, but try not to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's concerned about her being too hot in the summers and, you know, they're in New York City. Gets her an air conditioner, pays off her student loans. Things like that. But yeah, then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, you need something nicer to wear. Yeah, that's kind of,
like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy, the author did a really good job of really setting the scene. Like, I could see myself being in Ezra's apartment on a summer evening with the lights out, and they're watching baseball, having a cocktail, just relaxing. There was a very great visual picture of that painted, and there was a piece of that was really nice, you know, just taking a moment to smell the roses and relaxing.
Yeah, I liked that also. There was I love the little things they brought in, like you that almost don't need to be there. I like details like that. I like details that don't need to be there.
But they help you see or smell or taste it better. Yeah.
Like she is a huge baseball fan. So they talk a lot about what was going on that year with Boston and these kind of things. So that is that's interesting. And there's I love this, like, so we were talking about him, like, opening up her literary eyes. They're watching baseball in bed, and they're talking about writing, and this quote comes up that if there's a gun hanging on a wall in the first chapter, in a later chapter, it must go off. Ezra instructs Alice, passing along Chekhov's famous rule. And her response in her customary deadpan is, if there's a defibrillator hanging on the wall in the first chapter, does it have to go off later too? And so she's kind of a smart aleck with him in certain times, but he does, you know, he gives her lists of books to read, and, you know, they'll talk about things like this. And then I remember in one part he talks about, and I think this comes back to, well, is this a little bit of a self-portrait? Because he talks about painting the scene, like you just said, that he's told students, you don't just say, I walked into the room. You need to say, I walked into the room and it smelled like this and the light was like that and whatever, you know, set the scene.
That's what makes a great writer, that I can picture it in my head.
Yeah. And I think, as you said, they do a great job of that in this. And so, well, let's see. Nobody has called in, but if you still have time, if you want to call and talk to us about Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday.
Yeah, I was just reading here. I forgot. So she is, as I said earlier, this is her first novel. She was a freelance editor and a translator. And lucky her, she lives in Milan, Italy, with her husband.
That sounds
rough
horrible.
Life.
That sounds horrible.
So, needless to say, we weren't able to contact her for an author call-in.
we're still, in fact, actually next month, we'll jump ahead a little bit. Next month, we will have a little connection with our author, one of the authors.
Yeah, next month we can go ahead and tell the listeners now. Next month we're going to be doing two books because they're pretty short. The first one is called Homespun Mercies, and it is a book of poetry by our own Carbondale DJ Hill. She is amazing and is going to come into the studio, I believe, and hang out with us a little bit. And then we are also going to be talking about a book of short stories called I Might Regret This by Abby Jacobson. It's a pretty new book. It just came out right before Christmas. I don't know if anybody has seen Broad City on Comedy Central or Hulu, but it is.
Oh, so is this
Abby?
Okay. And so yeah. Is she a comedian?
She is a stand. She, I don't know if she does stand up, but she is a female comedian. And this story is. It says essays, drawings, and vulnerabilities and other stuff. So it's pretty much she's going through a breakup, and it's a true story. And she's driving from, I think, New York to San Francisco, and just kind of along her way, being a single woman doing a cross-country road trip, and the fun things that go through her brain, her problems with trying to fall asleep, all kinds of fun stuff like that. So,
oh my gosh! So let's say the words.
What, the titles.
What? There comes that old fashioned.
Oh boy!
Here we come. Let's say the titles again.
So, Homespun Mercies by DJ Hill,
and that is poetry because next month, April, is poetry National Poetry Month.
And it's your name too.
Oh yeah.
And the second book is I Might Regret This by Abby Jacobson.
Wonderful. And let's see. Let's read about some more support for Get Lit.
Absolutely. Support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works. They are so wonderful at supporting Get Lit and this show. They offer handcrafted microbrews and local seasonal food and hosting a variety of events, including live music. The Fairleys play tomorrow night at 6:30. More info at CarbondaleBeerWorks.com and on Facebook.
All right, that's awesome. So you are listening to Get Lit, our monthly happy hour book club show. I actually said it right that time.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister, not going to lie. Get Lit's easy, but then when you add the whole title, it gets a little tongue-tied.
And this month, we read Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday. I highly suggest it. Oh, we always do this. Like, we give our, what do you give that?
Oh, yeah, what's your rating?
You know, I thought it was very good. It's definitely not the best. I don't mean to be mean. I feel like, okay, should we say positive things? It's not the best book I've ever read. I enjoyed it, though.
Would you read it again?
No, probably not.
Yeah, me neither. I'm glad I read it once, but I probably wouldn't read it again. I mean, but I'm like that with a lot of books.
Yeah, I mean, okay, like a lot of times I'll kind of bring this parallel in. I don't want my time back that I spent reading it.
Well, that's good. It wasn't a waste of your time.
No.
Good.
But, you know, so what do we normally do? One to five?
I think so.
I give it a 3. Yeah.
Okay.
I give it a 3.
Okay.
You know, it was a good book.
I would say I would give it a 4. Mm-hmm. I think it gave me some great suggestions of things to read and expand my literary
knowledge.
That. I thought it was really interesting. And I just wish that I would have figured that middle part out without somebody having to tell me at the club. I was like, really? I had no idea.
That's okay. That's what clubs are for. That's what we're here for.
It's true.
All right. Well, we want to thank you. And if you need to see what books we are suggesting for next month, you can go to kdnk.org. Will we have them posted on there?
Yes.
Yes.
And we'll put them on Facebook, too.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you for hanging out with us this afternoon. Erin, go book. We always have a good time.
Cheers.